Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
In our continuing discussion about human perceptions of freedom and how they affect our interactions with our animals, this week I'd like to consider the role of imposing our views about physical freedom on companion animals. In the past, the human-canine relationship was a utilitarian one. This isn't to say that humans did not respect their animals. This isn't to say that humans didn't love their animals. In fact, I'm sure that some of them did. But it simply meant that they worked together as a unit. They depended on their animals to herd, keep their animals safe. They depended on them to help them hunt small game or to retrieve birds. When these animals performed this task way back when, and still to this day, they weren't on leashes. They weren't on long lines. In the old days, in rural days, they didn't have collars. At the same time, those animals, by choice and also conditioning, were not physically free. Hunting dogs didn't go running off and sniff up all new scents and run willy-nilly through meadows and woods. They hunted when they were called upon to hunt. And when they were called upon to hunt, they hunted what they were supposed to hunt. If they didn't, their value dropped, sometimes precipitously. Herding dogs who wanted to hunt were equally useless, as were bird dogs who preferred to chase rabbits. So even though these dogs superficially appeared to be totally free, they had restrictions. Their physical boundaries were set by their relationship to their owners and their function. The companion animal arena is a much more symbolically oriented one. In the last half century, we have increasingly become a society that knows more about training animals and less about normal animal behavior. As a result, the animal becomes a blank slate onto which we can project all kinds of things, including our views about physical freedom. So increasingly, I encounter people who find the idea of having their animals on a leash or a long line totally unworkable. They cannot tolerate it. They must have that animal free. Some of them need the animal to be free because they are so frightened. They have positioned the animal, typically a dog, as their protector. In their minds, the only way they can feel safe walking in the woods, walking on the streets, walking anywhere, is to have their animal off lead. There's also another group who cannot abide restraint of any kind. And this is not only leashes and lines, this may extend to collars, also to crating. Even in animals they adopt who are used to having access to their crates and see their crates as a place of safety. These people cannot tolerate any of this. For a significant number of this subgroup, the need to do this arises from some traumatic event in their childhood. Sometimes it involves confinement by someone they trusted. Other times, it involves self-confinement, hiding from members of the household to avoid abuse of one sort or another. Because of this, they cannot abide the thought of their animal being confined in any way. These are interesting cases because the more introspective among them realize that this is their problem, not the animal's. sometimes they create a paradox for themselves, in that on the one hand they want to be totally free, but on the other hand they want the dog to lead them. If they select an animal that can handle the responsibilities that go with this, no problems arise. But if they can't, things get really messy. A free-roaming dog who is aggressive toward other dogs and people can create a lot of stress. Obviously, it's also creating a lot of stress for the animal. Typically, the animal part of it is simple. We just relieve the animal of that burden. We shrink the animal's territory. We give that animal consistent boundaries to take all of that pressure off the animal. These people are too afraid to do that. So sadly, in this particular situation, giving these animals boundless freedom results in human and animal experiencing a bond that's much less than it could be.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.